If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. And God is challenging you and I today to come up higher than where we were yesterday. God is always in the business of transformation. Transformation simply meaning change. If you ever seen the movie Transformers, more than meets the eyes, he's always calling us to be transformer from our old way of doing things into the new way of life. Did you ever notice the fact that when you were born again from above, which means that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of your spirit and takes out that old nature, that old sin nature that you once had, and he places within you his new nature. And once you get that new nature, now your spirit man, the real you, is born again, all brand new. But your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, still remain the same, and your body is still the same. You won't get a new body until you receive your glorified body once you make a transition from this life into the next. And the thing about it is this. A lot of people are struggling right now because even though they have said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life, they have not transformed or begin the transformation process of renewing their mind by the word of God so that they'll no longer be conformed or adapted to or fashioned after this current world's way of doing things. But he says, but I need you to be transformed, changing your mind, your will, and your emotions into my way of so that you can prove what is my good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life so that you will no longer be conformed to this world. He says, but through your transformation, through the renewing of your mind, you will be conformed to God's ways of doing things. You said, man, why would I need to do all that? Because until you renew your mind, you will think the way you always did before. You will feel the same way you were doing before, and you'll make decisions the same way you would do before, because the battle is won or lost in your mind. Why? Because now that you're a born-again believer, now that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, the adversary knows he can't just pull any old trick over on you. So what is he going to do? He's going to always try to attack your mind with thoughts, with suggestions, with images to try to get you to think on the thought or suggestion or image that he placed before you. And if you begin to think about what it is that was the thought, if you begin to meditate what was said, or you begin to play in your mind the image that you saw, if you do that long enough, guess what you're going to do? You're going to establish a stronghold. And what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortified pattern, a way of thinking that guards you from doing one thing and keeps you in doing the other thing. See, this is what happens. When the word of God comes, the word of God will come to you, and that word will bring about information. And then when you begin to meditate on it long enough, or think about it long enough, ponder on it long enough, it will bring about a revelation. And when you get the revelation on that word, then what it will also bring about is inspiration. And when you get that inspiration from that revelation, then what will happen is you will set aside the old way you used to think and begin operating in the new. You know what that is? It's called a biblical principle, which is established, and you will see this in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. So what the adversary does, because he can't create anything new, all he does is he perverts. Perverts simply means to take something that was good and turns it into something worse. So he knows this is the way that God does what he does. So what he does with you and I, he says, I will give them out a suggestion. I will give them a thought. I will give them an image. What he does is he keeps giving you that same thought, the same image, the same suggestion, the same thought, the same image, the same suggestion, to the point where you begin to meditate on it, till you begin to think about it. And to the point that you meditate on it long enough, you think about it long enough, you ponder on it long enough, you see yourself doing the very thing, the very suggestion, the very thought, the very image that it is that he gave you. Now, that's how people get off into sin. He doesn't entice you with things that doesn't get your attention. He will entice you with the same things that used to get to you before you made Jesus the Lord of your life. And what he's banking on the fact is you have not renewed your mind by the word of God to the point that you can tell that what he's doing is that old you, and you are no longer that person, and you're no longer captured by those old desires. You're not no longer looking at people the same way you used to look at. You're no longer feeling the same way you used to think. He's banking on the fact you never renewed your mind by the word of God, and you're still open to his thoughts, his suggestions, and his images to the point that you will yield yourself to his thoughts, his images, and his suggestions. And then you get caught up in sin, and you miss God's mark, and you find yourself doing the things that you said you would never do again. And then you're upset and you're hurt. And then he will turn around, even though he was the one who gave you the thoughts, he gave you the suggestions and gave you the images, and to entice you to sin. He couldn't make you sin. He can't make you do anything if you're a child of the Most High God. Even if you're not a child of the Most High God, he can't make you do anything. He can definitely put enough pressure on you to try to make you think you don't have a choice. But you and I, ladies and gentlemen, always have a choice. And after he entices you into sin, then what the adversary would do after you sin, he will call you stupid, dumb, ain't nothing changed about you. Then he'll start accusing you. There's nothing good about you. God don't want you no more. God don't love you no more. That's a lie from the devil. God loves you. Even when you've messed up, God still loves you. Even when you've fallen down, bumped your knee, God still loves you. Even though you've done the craziest thing that you could have ever thought you could have done, God still loves you. He doesn't love the sin. He loves you. He loves me. He doesn't love the sin. So the adversary is banking on the fact that you don't know the strategy that I just revealed to you, that God revealed to me to reveal to you. So how do you overcome the situation? How, when you get those thoughts, how do you overcome it? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 says this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are fortified patterns of thinking. What do you mean fortified patterns of thinking? If you think about a castle has, when you pull up to a castle has this big old gate. And that big old gate is there for two reasons. It's there, number one, to keep intruders from just coming in anytime they get ready to. But number two, that gate can be used to keep those who are inside from escaping out. So the same thing a fortified thought does, a stronghold, if it's a demonic stronghold, he's trying to keep the light of the word of God, or God's word, or God's ways of thinking from getting inside past that thought, because he knows the moment that it gets on the inside of you, that light will expose the darkness, and that darkness has to flee. The other thing he's banking on, he doesn't want that fortified pattern of thinking that he's established in you through your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, your old pastor from Little Rock Baptist Church. He doesn't want those things to get from you, because if he knows once that fortified pattern of thinking is broken, now there's an opportunity for something new to come on the inside. Do you see that? So he's trying to keep things from getting in and from other things getting out. And he will work it overtime. You, as a child of the Most High God, you have the ability to do what? You can cast those thoughts down. What? You can refute, put off, throw off, throw aside the adversary's old ways of thinking, old ways of suggestion, old ways of doing things that have been fortified in your life for years. I mean, I know a lot of times when I used to work in the practice of prosthetics and orthotics, people used to say, man, diabetes, you know, is a hereditary disease. Diabetes and type 1, possibly. Type 2, no. Type 2 diabetes comes as a result of the way that people eat, the way that people drink, the way that people sleep, the way that people exercise. All those are forms of that cause type 2 diabetes. How do you know that? Because if you change the way that you eat, sleep, drink, and exercise, you can be delivered from the type 2 diabetes. So what is hereditary is the thought patterns of how people eat from grandmama and big mama and her mama and your grandma, your daddy's grandmama, and your aunts, your uncle, cousin, all those patterns, those ways, patterns of thinking on how to eat are passed down from generation to generation. And as a result, people have experienced the same sicknesses and disease time after time after time, not because the disease itself is hereditary, but simply because the pattern of thinking on how to eat, sleep, drink, and exercise is passed down. Do you see that? Same thing when it comes to the adversary. You can go to little Bobby's house. Little Bobby can go to his mama, and he can talk to his mama any old kind of way, and then it'd be cool. And then little Bobby grows up, and he has his kids talk to him any old kind of way. And it's passed on, and it shows a lack of respect, which violates God's word. Then you have little JoJo in JoJo's house. He knows if he talks to his mama any old kind of way, she or her husband will beat the brakes off of little JoJo. So JoJo is a little bit more hesitant to talk to his mom and daddy any old kind of way. What are they doing? Establishing fortified patterns of thinking, which are second nature to them, to the point where they don't even have to think about how they're going to respond in that situation. The adversary wants to establish fortified patterns of thinking in you that you don't even think about how you're going to respond, because you will always respond the way that you always have, and you will always get the same results that you've always gotten. But God says, but you can put off, throw down, cast those thoughts down, all those arguments, theories, and reasonings which try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, and take, you're literally going to take those wrong patterns of thinking captive, and you're going to say, nope, after today, nope, I'm not putting up with that way of thinking. Now, you can't just throw the thought off. A lot of times what happens is believers spend so much time focusing on things not to do that they never get around to doing the things that they should do. And in this situation, what happens is when you get a wrong pattern of thinking, what you're doing is, I'm going to capture that nope, and go, because he'll throw you an image. You know, you need to go over and have sex with Mary, because Mary, she wants you so bad. Oh, she wants you. She wants you. And you meditate on that. You think about that long enough. And Mary, if she ain't saved, she might be looking at you with them little googly eyes, because your wife at home, she ain't doing what she's supposed to be doing. So you start to do what? Meditate, ponder, think on those pictures and images and suggestions, to the point where that you begin to allow those things to entice you, to draw you into sin. And now you and Mary having a little chitty chatter. Now y'all have a little, you know, flirtatious talks. Before you know it, you and Mary in bed together, and you're wondering, how in the world did this happen? It did not just happen. It started with a thought, a suggestion, or an image. But God says, but you have the ability to cast that thought down, put that thought aside. How do you do it? You get a thought about you and Mary being in the bed together, you're like, the devil is a lie. This is what you say. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I will glorify God in my spirit and body, which are his. I refuse that thought in the name of Jesus. Right? Now, a couple of days later, that same image comes in again. Now Mary's wearing that super tight skirt. It's showing all her lips, hips, and fingertips. You're like, God almighty. Now, what do you got to do? You got to do the same thing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast down those thoughts concerning Mary. I declare that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I will glorify, which is my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I will glorify God in my spirit and body, which are his. And what am I doing? I'm putting off that old way of thinking, and I'm putting on the new image. I renew my mind by the word of God. I renew my mind so that I'm no longer conformed to this world's way, but I'm putting on and being transformed in my mind so I can conform to God's ways of doing things, which says I no longer use my body as an instrument of unrighteousness, but I use my body as an instrument of righteousness, and I will not sin against God in having sex with Mary, who is not my wife. Same thing with women. It works both ways. I've seen it work both ways. I've seen women who have been married with their husbands and some things have gone wrong, and they got somebody they're talking to. They know they're not supposed to be talking to, and you're telling them, hey, you know, that's not the way things are supposed to go. But because they're trying to self-medicate themselves, and the adversary is throwing these thoughts and images and suggestions, hey, y'all just friends, it's no big deal. But what happens is you form what's known as spiritual ties, and spiritual ties where can be stronger, because what happens is that you become, you're sharing your mind, your will, your emotions with this individual, and y'all begin to get locked up in a soul tie. And now that you're locked up in a soul tie, you feel like you lost something if you don't hear from them, if you don't talk to them, if you don't get to see them and everything. And what is the adversary doing? He's using your hurt to establish a fortified pattern of thinking that in the normal situation, you already know that you're doing is wrong. How do you know it's wrong? Have you told your husband about it?
Nope.
Have you told anybody else know about it who will give you correction? Nope. You're telling them about it? Nope. Why? Because you already know it's not right, but it feels good to your emotions. It feels good to your will. And if you're not careful, you'll make it feel good to your body, because he's like, hey, I don't give him everything else. The only thing I haven't given him is my body. And because I believe that he understands me more than my spouse does, I will give him that. And then all HE double breaks out, because now you have violated the covenant that you made between you and your husband. And once you violate that covenant, the adversary has you right where he wants you, because all he needs to get an invitation into your life to cause chaos, destruction, and heartache is for you to get off into sin. And that's why he uses strongholds to get you and I to get off into sins. But God says you don't have to give in to sin. You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to continue to give in to that. He says, because you can throw those thoughts down. You can refuse those thoughts. You can put those thoughts and arguments in theory. Same thing when you're watching TV and the newscaster comes on and says something that you know don't line up with the word of God. Pastor Julian told me to stop talking to the TV, because I'd be like, you and the devil a lie. No, it's not. Not in my house. They say this is flu season. The devil is a lie. Not in my house. Because in my house, I declare in the name of Jesus that we are whole. We are healed from the crown of our heads to the very soles of our feet. In fact, we was trying to watch a movie yesterday. I don't think the movie was on for 5 minutes. And Pastor Julian said, I already know that you're going to turn that movie off. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because we were sitting at the table and the movie had just come on. And she said, I know you're not going to watch it, because within the first 5 minutes, the lady don't say the F word like 4 or 5 times. I said, you got that right, because I am not going to spend all day putting God's word inside of me just to turn around and let the world spew their filth and their garbage back in me to contaminate the very thing that I just spent all day receiving from the Lord. Why am I saying this to you? Why is God saying this to you? He says, because far too many people have given themselves and given the adversary access to them through thoughts and suggestions and theories and images, and they are not casting those things down. And not only are they not casting them down, but they're not renewing their mind by the word of God. So consequently, they end up doing what they've always done, getting the same results they've always gotten, even though they said, made Jesus the Lord of my life. God has given you an opportunity today that says, you know what? Not after today, I'm done with that old way of living. Why is he telling you not this? He says, because in these last days, if you don't practice being transformed in the renewing of your mind and being conformed to God's ways of doing things, people won't be able to tell the difference between you and the world. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writing to Timothy, he says it this way. He says, know this, he says, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffers of God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. The word is stay away from this type of person. Now, when I used to read that back in the day, I used to think he was talking about the world, until he got to the last couple of verses where he said that they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. In other words, he said, I'm talking about people who are in the church. He says, I'm not talking about people, all these things is just going to be people outside of the church because they're doing it anyway. He says, but Timothy, I'm warning you as a pastor that in the churches that you will lead, you will have people who will operate just like this. And the reason why is because they love the pleasure more than they love God. They will act religious. They'll go through the activities. They'll say all the right things. They will sing the songs. They will attend. They will even give them money. He says, but they will reject the very power that is made available to them that can make them godly. He says, from this type of person, stay away from them. Why? Because that doesn't mean that you have nothing to do with them. What it's talking about is you don't spend all your time trying to get them to turn. When I learned this lesson, personally, when I used to try to work out these individuals, I was working with them and working with them and working with them until one day God said to me, why do you think they'll do what you tell them to do if they won't do what I told them to do? I've already told them what to do. They've made a decision in their heart. They don't want to do it. So I was like, well, Lord, what do I do? Pray for them and keep on moving, because there will come a day where they'll be ready. But today is not that day. And there are people that you have in your life and in your community and in your workplace and in areas around you that when you try to come and share the word with them, it's like bouncing a ball off of them. You throw the ball to them, it comes right back. You throw it, it comes right back. Why? Because they're not ready to receive it. So what is your responsibility? You share the word with them, you pray for them, and you trust God for the results. Because just like Nicodemus, there will come a day, there will come a time when they'll seek you and they'll ask, if not you, they'll find somebody. I need to get out of the situation I'm in. I don't know what to do. How do I get out of this situation? And then God will have the very person there ready to minister to that individual. Because remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says it this way. One waters the seed, one sows the seed, another one waters the seed, but only God gives the increase. This is about being the transformation church. Our ministry is all about transformation, helping people where faith and life meet, where people can be practical doers of the word and not just hearers only, that they will be able to, their lives will be transformed by the renewing of their minds, by the word of God, to the point that 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, you won't even recognize that person you used to be. And all I'm asking you to do is give us 1 year. Give us 1 year. Sit under the word for 1 year. Sit under the teacher for 1 year. Become a member of a life group for 1 year. And guess what will happen at the end of that year? If your life is not forever changed, I'll never say another word to you. But I already have enough confidence and faith in the word of God that if you allow this word to get on the inside of you and you make a conscious decision that you're going to do it, then in the end of 3 months, in the end of 6 months, and the end of 9 months, and when we celebrate that year that you've given to the Lord, your life, your family's life, will look totally different than it does today. I truly believe it, because the first thing we just did is expose to you the way that the adversary has kept you bound in the situations and circumstances that you've been in, but not after today. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the adversary uses His images and his strategies and his suggestions are those to try to set up fortified patterns of thinking in your mind. Back it says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against little Mary. We're not wrestling against Bobby. We're not wrestling against John or Bobo. We're not wrestling against him. It's the fortified pattern of thinking or the adversary who's using satanic and demonic spirits to work through others against you, to try to get you to accept their wrong way of thinking, the wrong way of feeling, the wrong way of doing, and to try to put you under pressure to get you to cave in to their way of doing things. But because you are a transformer, there's more to you than meets the eye. After today, you know, you don't have to be conformed to this world, but you're being transformed by the total renewal of your mind that you may prove once and for all what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And one of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, that all men be saved. And you said, man, well, I've heard that before, but man, I'm too bad. I've done too many wrong things. God says, your bad will never outdo, or outperform, or outlast his good. Your bad will never outdo what the blood of Jesus has already done. And he says, and that blood has washed your sins away. And he says, and all you got to do is make a decision to receive the free gift of salvation that's been made available to you. Well, how do you receive it? Man, it's so simple. A child can do it. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says it this way. He says, the word of God is not in your heart, as in your mouth. It's the word of God that we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Make this confession with me. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I believe I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you pray that prayer for the very first time, or you made a rededication, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, welcome you into right standing. Now, what do you do? You got to do just what we said. Get in a word-based church. We're inviting you here at Faith Life. Give us 1 year. 1 year. Where you sit under the word every week, under the word, participate in life groups. And I guarantee you, after a year, your life will never again be the same. We meet here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to have you come joining us. And on behalf of Pastor Jewel and the entire Knight Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.